From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns has been expounding chapter 9. Today he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls. The text for the message is verses 1 through 5, in which Paul reveals his heart for his fellow Jews. As Dr. Cairns demonstrates, Paul's view of salvation as found in the Old Testament applies to both Jews and Gentiles. All are saved in the same way. An important part of Paul's emphasis in the text is a faithful explanation of God's sovereignty in salvation. Because Christ's work on the cross was successful, the gospel is destined to succeed. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25. If thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. God's altar was to be built of unhewn stones, that no trace of human skill or labor might be seen upon it. Human wisdom delights to trim and arrange the doctrines of the cross into a system more artificial and more congenial with the depraved tastes of fallen nature. Instead, however, of improving the gospel, carnal wisdom pollutes it, until it becomes another gospel and not the truth of God at all. All alterations and amendments of the Lord's own word are defilements and pollutions. The proud heart of man is very anxious to have a hand in the justification of the soul before God. Preparations for Christ are dreamed of, humblings and repentings are trusted in, good works are cried up, natural ability is much vaunted, and by all means the attempt is made to lift up human tools upon the divine altar. It were well if sinners would remember that, so far from perfecting the Savior's work, their carnal confidences only pollute and dishonor it. The Lord alone must be exalted in the work of atonement, and not a single mark of man's chisel or hammer will be endured. There is an inherent blasphemy in seeking to add to what Christ Jesus, in his dying moments, declared to be finished, or to improve that in which the Lord Jehovah finds perfect satisfaction. Trembling sinner, away with thy tools, and fall upon thy knees in humble supplication, and accept the Lord Jesus to be the altar of thine atonement, and rest in him alone. Many professors may take warning from this morning's text as to the doctrines which they believe. There is among Christians far too much inclination to square and reconcile the truths of Revelation. This is a form of irreverence and unbelief. Let us strive against it, and receive the truth as we find it, rejoicing that the doctrines of the Word are unhewn stones, and so are all the more fit to build an altar for the Lord.
To shower with blessing the people he loves, and work all together for good, to store up more treasure in heaven above, and teach us to wait on the Lord. He chastens in mercy, more grace to give, his strength in our weakness to show. In all of the paths that his people have trod, these are a part of the ways of God.
suffer affliction and count all but loss, he speaks through his Spirit within. To counsel his children to take up the cross, that we might draw closer to him. What wisdom in worship and fervent prayer, and pleasure his presence provides. In all of the paths that his people have trod, these are a part of the ways of God.
And the trials and testing surely must come, when Satan and sin have their sway.
But soon we'll rejoice
when Jesus returns
to take all our sorrows away.
Comfort this lesson imparts. For those he has promised to richly reward that seek him with all of their hearts.
He purges with patience our faith to build, and moves every mountain in time. In all of the paths that his people have trod, these are a part of the ways of God.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all his fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Remember what I've said from this pulpit 100 times? Never forget it. Anything God does is always worthy of Himself. He cannot do anything that is unworthy of His own glorious person. This is His absolute sovereignty. And that's what Paul was preaching and defending. Thus, Paul had neither question nor complaint about God's right to choose out of the corrupted mass of humanity a people for Himself according to His will. To the Apostle Paul, there could never be any ambiguity about the truth that the salvation of any man depends on God's will and not man's will. Do you follow that? And this is where the Bible runs contrary to so much of evangelicalism today. Evangelicalism generally teaches you that God wants to do a whole lot, but it's all up to the will of man. I've often quoted one English evangelist who was carried away with the passion of his own preaching. And I have to sympathize with him. I mean, he preached heresy, but I sympathize with him in this, that it is easy in the passion of the minute to get carried away, and sometimes your mouth runs away with you and you say things you'd later regret. But as he was preaching about all that God wanted to do and all that the will of man wouldn't let him do, he threw up his hands and he cried, "Poor God! Poor God! Poor idiot of a preacher. I don't serve a poor God. The Bible doesn't present poor little God. I want to tell you, the salvation of any man depends on the will of God. And here's the thing, if salvation is all of grace, then it is all of God. Thus, you have the strong language. If you read down in Romans 9, and we'll come to this more in the next message probably, but have a look at this, what Paul is writing here. Start at verse 10. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. But what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will. That is, I will to have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Look at verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, over the same lump, to make, or of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. I told you Paul was saying some things here that people don't like. I suggest it's time we get to like what God likes. What I'm saying to you tonight is this, that God's grace is sovereign in its ordination, or its foreordination. Chapter 10 goes right into another subject, another aspect of grace, and that is that God's grace is sincere in its offer. Now, I said some time ago that Paul was not a bit worried about trying to reconcile God's purpose on the one hand and God's proclamation of the gospel and its offer on the other hand. In Romans chapter 10, he sets out the truth, verses 6 to 8, that faith in Christ is the sole means of acceptance and justification. Then in verses 11 through 13, he shows that Jews and Gentiles are equally guilty, and the gospel is equally suited to both. Therefore, that's the basis of the great proclamation in verse 9, where he freely presents the gospel to all men and sincerely offers it to them. And this is what he says: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now follow me carefully here. In Romans 9, you had this sovereign will of God, sovereign in its ordination. Now watch the end of Romans 10. To Israel, he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What a picture that is. God's grace is not only sovereign in its ordination, but it is sincere in its offer. Here he is dealing with a people who were utterly stubborn in their sin. God did not say, and I want you to understand this, God did not say, oh, you're not the predestinated, therefore there is no gospel to be preached to you. No, no. He stood pleading. He stood proclaiming. He was stretching out his hands. That's a plea. But it's more than that. That's a welcome. And I will say tonight, and I am glad this church, Calvinistic to the core, believes in the free offer of the gospel. I will say tonight that if the God who did the predestining stands with his hands outstretched indiscriminately to this disobedient people, then as long as God gives me breath, by his grace, I will preach Christ to all men and tell them what Paul told them here: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Oh, God never tells you discover if you're elect. What he'll tell you is discover that you're a sinner. Discover that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Discover that there's an infinite fullness in the merit of the blood of the blessed Lamb of God. And discover this, that Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's a sincerity in that offer. The very God who ordains stands with his hands outstretched to a disobedient people. And let me tell you tonight, if you go out of this meeting a Christ-rejecting, unregenerate, unjustified sinner, you have none to blame but yourself. I don't see anybody twist your arm about your back to say, you must reject Christ. Oh, that's your will. That's your depravity. That's your sin. The gospel is sincere in its offer to sinners. God's hand is outstretched. In chapter 11, the truth is that God's grace is successful in its operation. There's a wonderful vision in chapter 11 that the day is coming when both Jews and Gentiles will eagerly embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And just as today only a few in the world are saved, few there be that find this straight and narrow way. There is yet another day coming. And I'm not going to get into eschatology, but I will preach this always from a good pre-millennial point of view. But at the end of the day, whether you're pre or post, I have a real trouble with you if you're amillennial and you think you're in the millennium now. God help your wit. That's all I can say to you. If this is the millennium, I don't know. But we're not going to get into that. There's a day coming when the millions of this world will embrace the Lord, our Christ. My, what a glorious future there is for the gospel. And you will see that in Romans chapter 11. The Jews are going to be restored. And this is how Paul argues. The cutting off of the Jews brought great blessing to the Gentiles. And if that's true, what will the restoration of the Jews be? It will be like life from the dead. That to me is one of the most thrilling scriptures in the Bible, because it tells me, you take all the great things that have happened through church history, the day of Pentecost, those days that followed when 5,000 more people were saved, the Protestant Reformation, when Europe was turned upside down by the power of the gospel, the days of the great revivals. Paul says, in comparison to what God is going to do, that's like the church in death. And we're looking for a great resurrection. The gospel is not destined to fail. The gospel is destined to succeed. And therefore the conclusion at the end of chapter 11 is this wonderful outpouring of the apostle's heart. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What a wonderful conclusion it is. But you know, as we conclude tonight, I want you to emphasize this. That when Paul gets to this doctrine of the sovereign purpose of the grace of God, he prefaces it with the verses we read together. Now, I'm not going to go down those verses in detail, but he prefaces it with this blazing statement of his passion for souls. And what I want to get over to every Christian here tonight is this. That there are two things that should always go together. The purpose of sovereign grace and our passion for lost souls. There's a big lesson here for us all. Listen to what Paul says at the very beginning. This is how he's getting into the doctrine of predestination. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for the sake of my brethren. What is he saying? He's saying that a true view of the sovereignty of God will never lessen your love for souls. And I will put it to you bluntly. If you say, oh, I believe in election, I believe in predestination, I believe in this, I believe in that, and it's all philosophical, it's all in your head, and you can sit back and let the world go to hell, and it means little or nothing to you, you do not begin to believe in the sovereignty of God. You've perverted into an idol and into a veritable blasphemy one of the most precious revelations that God has given us in Scripture. Because the more we see the sovereignty of grace, the more it will engender within us and inflame within our hearts a genuine passion for souls.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.